You're about to hear a message from the team at C3 Church Bethel. We pray that this message will inspire you to live your best life and bring life to the people around you.
Wow. So you probably would have received one of these by now. It's a card and it's a summary of the sermon series that we have just almost finished now. And between Steve and I, we put this thing together so that you could stick it in your Bible and remember some of the things that God spoke to you over this month. It's a great thing because I put it together. No, it's a great thing because it's good to be remembered about what God is telling us. You know, He doesn't tell us. I think I've said this maybe once or twice over the month. He doesn't tell us something now so that we might forget it tomorrow. He wants us to remember. He wants to build us up. He wants to turn us into a walking encyclopedia of the faith, a living one. So the summary, you can even look at the summary. You can scribble on it if you like. In your private Bible time, you might like to use it as a rule that you can underline scriptures with. It's sturdy, so it's not easily soiled, and it fits inside my Bible. So I hope it fits in yours. I hope you've got your Bible here today. I would like to, I'm just watching the clock, I've got no minutes left, that's good. So I can go for as long as I want. I just want to run through the month again. I think it's helpful for us to be reminded about what we've been taught by God, and it's also helpful for me because there's some things I miss along the way, or when I wrote this for today, some things that jumped out and said, you should tell them about this thing too. So, as we know, 66 books written by 40 authors over 1,500 years. This thing here is not just a book. You've heard me say that. Oh, for goodness sake, it's not just a book. This is life. This is life. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. So doctrine for us is the basis for what we believe. If we don't have the Word of God in our lives, then there's a chance we will get what we believe wrong. It'll be a bit messy and be a bit misled. You know what? Satan will step in and tell you a lie and you'll believe something different if you don't have the foundation of the Word. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. What it does is it shines light on our fault. You know, isn't that nice? You know, if you do something wrong, don't you hate it when somebody calls you out on that publicly? You know, Marilyn, I saw you do that thing, and whatever it might be. She's embarrassed, and we're all embarrassed, and she might even give a bit of pushback on that thing. And shame, amen, yeah. But the Word of God, it's good for reproof. It shines light on our fault privately. God is at work and He's changing our lives little by little, step by step, bit by bit, kindly towards us. It's good for correction, that's to provide the right way. It's for instruction in righteousness. You know what? Righteousness. What is righteousness these days? Fair income. Everything's becoming okay, isn't it? Everything's becoming right. It's not. Not everything is right. The Word of God instructs us in righteousness. If we are in the Word of God, we will not get it wrong. All manner of things, all manner of subjects of life, all manner of experiences that are placed before you, you can find an answer in the Word as to whether it's right for you in God's eyes or not. Let's not make up righteousness. We're hopeless at that. We come from the seed of unrighteousness, saved by the seed of righteousness, who is Jesus Christ. And I love this. But the man of God, man and the woman, person of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Who at times feels inadequate? Me. Let's get in this thing. What does it say? It says, so that we might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I can't tell you how much I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, this is another one we went through. For the Word of God, and I'm pretty sure I sort of harped on about this a little bit, the Word of God is living and powerful, living and active. The King James Version says that it's quick and powerful. This is actually the closest to the translation, the proper translation, the Greek translation. Quick is a word that's spelt Z-A-O in English, and it's pronounced Zaho, and it actually means to live or life. That was revelation to me. I went, the Word of God is not living like everything else is living. It is life. The Word of God is life. It is the center. It is to live. You know, if you want to live, the Word of God, if you get the Word of God, that's a bit poppy there, Steve. Would you be able to fix that a little bit, mate, please? If you want to live, the Word of God provides life because it is life to you. God has a purpose for his living word. And we talked about in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, from my mouth. Remember I said a little minute ago, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that's stoma, keep that in mind, from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It's not coming back. God sends his word out, and if it lands on good soil in our heart, it's just not going to return to him void. It will not return to him void. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing. Put up your hand if you are the thing. You're learning. You're slow. Everybody, put up your hand if you're the thing. You are the thing. That's the purpose for the word was sent into the thing to prosper the thing. The thing is you. You'll be prospered in your life in every way as you walk in the word. That's a promise. God doesn't have these things written down in this book just to tickle our ears and interest our ideas. He puts them forward because they are the very truth and the center of who he is and what he desires for his people. He sent forth his word so that it would prosper in the thing for which he sent it. Tell you what, it prospers me. I'm slow to learn. God must get very frustrated with me sometimes. But every now and then he has a breakthrough and I'm prospered. My life improves. Pastor Dave Barter came and he spoke to us and he said, hear the word. Think the word. Think the word. Believe the word. I think this is one of the large stumbling blocks and hurdles for Christendom now, is believing that the word of God is true. In absolute, incredible detail, it's true. I think I've said to you that if you find something in the Bible that's not true, you are wrong. You just are yet to be shown how it is the truth. Challenge God on this. Say, God, I don't believe this. Show me how it could be true. Persevere with that thing. Just don't write stuff off. The Word of God can be very complex sometimes, because there's mysteries contained in it and God wants to reveal them to you, to grow you. Speak the word. No use just bundling this stuff up inside and getting all self-righteous on yourself. It's to be spoken out. It's actually one of the areas where the word of God is most powerful, because we can speak into the lives of people through the word of God. Could you imagine that? That you might speak something that's written in the scriptures, and I often do it at work. People will bring something up and I'll say, it's really interesting because there's a Bible verse that talks about that and it says this thing. And they go, wow, that's really wise. But you know what the good thing about that is? Colin Crome's not very wise. The Word of God is wise. The Word of God is wise. And you know what? My wisdom, it's just little impact on anybody's lives. But when we speak the Word, the impact is powerful. The Word of God is life and powerful. They can't hear it. They don't know it. Live the Word. It's important for us to live the Word. And this is one of our ongoing challenges as a Christian, is to walk along and live out the word. You know what? The Holy Spirit is in us, and he is ready and able and willing to speak into your lives and guide you along the path as you go. And I don't think many of us find ourselves having done something wrong and we didn't know about it, about the wrongdoing before we did it. It's usually there. We usually go, oh, I'll do it anyway. But let's live out the word. Let's live the word of God. Thank you, Pastor Dave. The word of God brings faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what? I said it last week. I said, if you take away the word of God, you can't hear. And if you can't hear, you don't have any faith. Or your faith is limited. It's stifled. It's strangled. It's stunted in its growth. It doesn't have its ability to take place in your life and rise up to meet the many challenges that we face each and every day. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Today we're hearing the word of God. When you're in your quiet time, or wherever you are, that you listen to the word of God or you read the word of God, your faith is being built. Might I challenge you? And I have been in this place many times throughout my Christian walk, and by the grace of God, I'm forgiven for it. I've neglected the word of God along the way. If you're young particularly, take this opportunity now and just get into a habit and make it the center of your life, because your faith will grow exponentially. It'll be astounding. People go, wow, what a great young man or young woman of faith you are. And you'll say, well, that's not me. That's just because the word of God has taken hold of my life and it has grown faith in me. And people go, wow, I want a piece of that thing. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire? And I talked last week about how fire is that refining element that takes away the chaff of our life. Nobody really wants us to be chaffy, but just the rubbish. Gets rid of the rubbish of our life. It's like a fire that takes the rubbish away from our life. It takes away the dross in that refining process of precious metal. You know what? We are more precious to God than you can ever imagine. God sees you more valuable, more worthy, more worth dying for than any bit of old gold or diamond or thing. He wants to refine your life. He goes, I can see gold in this person, and I just want to refine their life. I'm going to pour out my fire in them. Who wants the fire of God to start to take a hold in their life? Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces? And it's not just any old kind of rock. Like I said last week, it's the scripture, the original Hebrew talks about that rock being a lofty rock, a craggy place, a fortress, a stronghold. Nothing good. Nothing good. Horrible place. Nobody go there on holidays. You know, you'd have to pay me, and then you couldn't pay me enough. But God's word is like a hammer that breaks that rock to pieces in your life. Everyone, I dare say, has at times the manifestation of that rock in their life, the thing that builds up that they just can't get rid of. It might be unforgiveness. You might have been wronged by someone, and to some degree, rightfully so, feeling really horrible toward them, and I just can't forgive them. You know, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget. You know, that type of stuff. That is a lofty, craggy fortress stronghold that will hold you back. But the word of God, what it will do, it will come in and it'll break that rock to pieces. Just one example. It might, there's lots. I'm not going through them all. We're in a spiritual battle where our weapons of warfare are not physical objects. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Right? Too often we see the stuff that comes up against us and we immediately look at the flesh behind it. So people might tick us off or challenge us in certain ways or falsely accuse us or whatever it might be. But let me tell you, I'm pretty certain Satan's behind it. If he's not behind it, he's in it. He's an opportunist. He's the father of lies. He'll come along. He'll take every opportunity. If he can see something bad happening to you, hang on, I'm getting on that bus. And he's going to try and squash you. And he wants to introduce the lie into your mind that this is actually purely a manifestation of the flesh that's come against you. But the Bible tells us something different. It says that we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of this present age. So it only stands to reason, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not natural, are not like swords and the tongue and those sorts of things. One of our weapons is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. And it says, partly there, it says, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember this, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's His sword. It's His sword. The Holy Spirit lives within you. He empowers you. If you have the Word in your life, He will be able to wield the Word powerfully, which is His sword, in that spiritual battle that we encounter each and every day. Our weapons are powerful under the power of God. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. They are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We talked a bit about strongholds just a minute ago. Casting down arguments. And you remember, I talked about imaginations. We can start to imagine stuff. We think, all manner of things. It might be that you sit there and you think nobody likes you in this church. I come along to this church every week and the people don't talk to me and they don't like me, and if I left, nobody would miss me. That's an imagination. We would miss you. We're not very good sometimes as people to make other people feel welcome and loved. I would say this, that if you don't feel welcomed or loved, you need to come up and see me or see someone and say, I don't feel welcomed or loved. I had a friend many years ago, and he's been a friend for me, for Marilyn and I, for many, many years, 20 plus years, and a sermon similar to this one Sunday morning was being preached. I think I was preaching it perhaps. And after, he came up with tears streaming down his face and he says, I've got no friends. And I said, well, you're my friend now. And for many years, he came to our place for dinner every Wednesday night, I think it was, until he got married. And we're still friends with him. And hey, put up your hand. We're not mind readers. Bringing down imaginations, casting down arguments. The Word of God. If you're feeling lonely, get in the Word of God. God will prop you up, clear the imaginations out, and replace them with the truth. You are dearly beloved. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There's a lot of that goes on right now in this world. Lots and lots of people rising up who appear to be very haughty and reject the things of God. Stuff that sets itself up above the authority of God. Let's stand by the Word. Let's not get on board with that stuff. You could imagine some of the stuff. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This thing here, this is very, very good. All good, but this is very, very good, because the Word of God, it lines up your thoughts. It gets it all right, gets it straight. It's refinement, and your thoughts and your activities and your life comes into the abeyance of Christ. That's where we need to be. That's what's best for us, not because Jesus is some kind of dictator over our lives, but because God knows that the only way for people to live healthy and prosperous lives is to be in relationship with Him. And the only way to be in relationship with Him is to come under the obedience of Christ and have Him as our Lord and Savior. That's up to now. So we got up to there. I think we got up to there last Sunday. We've just got three more attributes. It's going to take me 17 minutes and 54 seconds to get through them. Let's go back to Hebrews 4:12. Please open up your Bible if you have one. Hope by now you do. And if you don't have one and you want one, tell me and I'll get you one. Bibles are good. They're tactile instruments in which you can scribble, write memories, note things that God has told you and refer to them later on. I know you can do that electronically. I don't believe it. But yeah, I like having a Bible. Open your Bible for Hebrews 4:12. We know this scripture. I'm reading from the King James, New King James. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." There's some richness in this. I'm about to share with you something that I've struggled with as to whether I'd share it or not, because it came as somewhat as a revelation to me, and I'm not 100% certain whether it's correct. So forgive me if it's not. But like every word that you hear preached from the front, you should test with the word. That way you'll know whether what we're telling you is right or wrong. But hang on to this for a minute. Come on this journey with me. For the word is quick and powerful, we've been through that, and sharper, this is it, and sharper than any two-edged sword. I looked at what the original Greek for two-edged was, and it came up as this. The word is distomos, something like that, with my best Greek accent, distomos. Distomos comes from two words. One is die. Makes sense, doesn't it? Two-edged. Die, which is two. And the other one, stomos, comes from the Greek word stoma. Has your memory been reignited? When I said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the stoma of God, from the mouth of God. If we were to have a play with some words, English words in the scripture, we might say that for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-mouthed sword. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? That sounds crazy. What does that mean? Two-mouthed. Where are the two mouths? Where are the two mouths? Go back here. Here we go, Isaiah 55:11. Are you ready? "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." First mouth. Come on, Holy Spirit. Bring this out. The first mouth is God's mouth. And there's a second mouth. And it shall prosper in the thing for which it was sent. We are the thing in which it's sent to. So the word of God comes from his mouth into our lives. Where does it go after that? What do we do with it? Where do we send it? We send it out through our mouth.
Correct.
So, bear with me, stick with me. The second mouth is us. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And we're to take it up. Do we agree that? We're to take it up. And by the power of the Spirit, we're to wield it. We're to wield that sword. So God's sword is the sword of the Spirit. His is the word, which is the sword of the Spirit. His word is sharper than any, and I would say this, and I'm going, this is the area where I want you to give me some levity or just reject it. It's sharper than any other two-edged sword or any other two-mouthed sword. So we have this thing happening in us. An example would be this. The word of God dutifully is consumed by us, and it's in our life. And even at times in the past where I haven't been such a student of the Word of God. He's used the small amount that's been within me and used it to good effect. And along the way, I might have been praying for Ian, for instance, and praying that that you know the Lord would greatly prosper him and bless him in every way. And during my prayer time, God would bring a scripture to my mind. That would be like an unction of the Holy Spirit. In the middle of a prayer for Ian, I suddenly get a scripture that was dropped into him, into me by his mouth, and now I've got a duty to do. And the duty is to pass on that scripture to Ian. So now we have this thing that happens with the two-edged sword or the two-mouthed sword occurs there. Getting this? I don't know whether I've explained it well. It spoke very powerfully into my life that God wants to walk in partnership with us with his word. There are two ways to consume the word. One is by reading it yourself, and the other one is by hearing it from others. And then testing it yourself and hearing it from others. And the word of God is powerful. It's alive and powerful, and it's in us, and we speak it with power to other people. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And what things does it achieve when it comes into other people's lives or into our life even? It says it divides asunder the soul and spirit. And what it does is it takes a hold of those things which are of the flesh and those things which are of the spirit and shows us which belongs to which category. So if you're looking at something that's in your world and you're wanting to know whether it is from the spirit or from the flesh, then rely upon your knowledge of the word and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Pray to God to get him to show it to you. Don't just write it all off as flesh. I'd also say this, and I think David Barter said it pretty well, that he doesn't like to attribute everything to the devil. You know, sometimes we're the masters of our own circumstances. And I think I also cleared it up today by saying that if the devil's not behind it, he certainly gets himself in it along the way. So there's a bit of that going on. But what the Word of God does, because it has this ability to cut into our lives and get to the very basis of stuff, it's able to show us what is of the Spirit and what is of the flesh. And last year, I think I mentioned to you that we went through a year of adversity, my family and I quickly and readily recognized it as a spiritual attack. And from there on in, over that entire year, I did my very best not to rise up my anger against the fleshly vessel in which it came from, but to come against, it says, submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that's what I did over the year. And I really believe that through that quick and that quick recognition, the revelation of the Holy Spirit in my heart through that, I think we shortened that year of adversity. Still a year. It might have been longer. Who really knows? But sometimes we can get caught up in the wrong battles. Sometimes we get caught up in the wrong stuff. We can rise up against people when we really should. Who we really should be rising up is against Satan in the power of Jesus Christ. Another one is it's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, I think we can trick ourselves sometimes, and we can think stuff and think we're thinking right, and we can have certain intentions for our lives and the lives of those around us, and think that those intents are righteous. And oftentimes, those wrong thoughts and those wrong intents bring hurt and pain into the lives of others, and also bring shame upon ourselves. If you don't want to be the kind of person who has wrong intents and wrong thoughts, be in the Word. The Word has this it's like a spotlight. It shines, you know, straight away. God will say to you, and as I said before, oftentimes when we do stuff that is not right and it's against God's will, then usually we knew about it beforehand. Before we did it, we just chose the wrong path. The spotlight is there. It's judging the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. We need that in our lives. Isaiah 55:8-9. This one here says, this is, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I think God's acknowledging that sometimes we can think stuff and we think it's right, but his ways and thoughts are higher than ours. They're left of field. They're outside of our time dimension. They're outside of our methodology of living out life. We want to be aligned with God. We are people of God. We are saved by Jesus, who was sent to die upon the cross for us. We want to reflect back out to the world the very core of what God was expressing when he let his son die upon the cross for us. If we don't have that as a desire in our heart, and if we don't have it as an outliving in our life, I think we miss something. We miss our ability to influence the world for the sake of Christ. The way that we become vessels that are effective in the lives of other people is to be in the Word. Being in the Word is not some difficult, hard thing to do. It's exciting. Sometimes, actually, I was speaking to Vanessa this week, and she got bogged down in the in some genealogy thing, and she said, that was a bit boring. And I went, hey, yeah, I think it's a bit boring too. So she sort of moved on from that and got into something else, and that was really good. Is that right, Vanessa? Yeah, bingo. Okay. Come on. You know, I just sit there in the morning and I open my Bible, and I've just finished Romans this morning, which, man, was that good. I just finished Romans this morning, and just the last little bit blew me away. And I didn't expect that. God honors your purposefulness with his word. This is the last bit, really short and quick. Turn your Bible to Luke 5, 1-5. This is an account, not a story. Luke 5, 1-5. This is when Jesus was first starting his ministry and he was beginning to call his disciples. Luke 5, 1-5, and I'm going to read it. Just let you flick a little bit more there. Give you a moment, you diligent Bible carriers. I like you. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he, this is Jesus, stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing the nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put it out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Just stop there for a minute. I'm just thinking about Simon. And here he is. He's worked all night. He's probably a bit tired, but this is an awesome opportunity. He's jumped into the boat. They've gone out. And Jesus then teaches the multitude. And Simon's like, he's got the front row seat. It's just awesome. When you come under the teaching of Jesus Christ, your life cannot help but be impacted and affected. The presence of Christ is life-changing. That's why we're here. We're changed people. If we didn't have Christ in our life, we'd be somewhere else. If we weren't looking for him, we'd be looking at something else. And this goes on, I like this. And when he had stopped speaking, I don't know how long that sermon went for, but I think Jesus used to preach for a long time. Could have been late in the afternoon, I don't know. And he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. My Holy Spirit. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. Some of you have been fishing all night and caught nothing. Some of you have looked to dig out of the circumstance in which you are and you just can't do it anymore. You've packed up your nets and you're going home and you're giving up. But Jesus is saying to you, at the depth of your despair or frustration or fruitlessness, I'm willing to show you where to fish. I'm willing to help you out of that circumstance. I'm willing to make sure you become fruitful. And I'm saying that with my word. Look at Simon's response. Been fishing all night, but at your word, Jesus, at your word, I'll go and do that thing. You know what the rest of the story is. They went out. What did they do? What happened? Anybody know? Went out and what? Caught fish. Caught fish. If there's anything that the Word of God does, and man, the Word of God helped me so much last year. I went through Psalms, and I've got so many underlines and scribbles through Psalms. And you know, you read Psalms and there's anger. There's, you know, God, look after my enemies. Yeah, squash them. Whatever it is. All of the emotion, all of the angst and pain that I was feeling throughout the year was contained within Psalms, and the answers rose up. It was like Jesus saying, don't give up. Go out into the deep now. Go out into the deep now. Throw your nets over the edge. He was saying to me, don't give. And I was hearing God. I'm going, God, yeah. Man, I'm so glad you gave me that today. Because at your word, I'm able to now go further in my day, each and every day. Life's good. Life's really, really good. I think for the most part, most people enjoy life and it's just beautiful in every way, shape and form. And maybe they're the toughest times for our spiritual growth because we don't necessarily naturally press toward God. But the reality is, and we are told in the scriptures, you will suffer trials of many kinds, trials and tribulations of many kinds. And most of you, who's suffered, I just want to do a quick poll, who's suffered a trial or tribulation, put up your hand, in your life? Praise the Lord, everyone. Everyone has. So God's there for you in the good times, and hopefully you are there for Him in the good times, but He's also there when you've been fishing all night and you've not caught any fish and you're downhearted and it's hurting. He's there for you. And at His word, you can fish again. At His word, you can be fruitful again. But without His word, and at the moment, for the best part, for 99.9999% of the time, the only word we're really hearing from God is written in this document. I've heard from God otherwise. I'm sure you have too. It's never contrary to what is written in this book. It doesn't go against what God teaches in this book. It doesn't go against His nature that is revealed in this book. But if you want to hear from God constantly and you want to be able to let down the nets even when you're tired, and be fruitful even when the chips are down. Be in the Word. Be in the Word. Romans, I'm just going to do this. Benediction. I like this benediction. This is the end. Benedictions are good in sermons because they are the end. All right. Romans, it's the last chapter. Romans 15, 16, starting at verse 25. You don't have to look this up. Don't look it up. No rustling of paper. This is a blessing on you. This is a blessing on you. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to connect personally if you're in town. We meet on Sundays at 217 Howick Street for a 10:30 service, or visit our website, c3churchbathurst.org.